Good evening. This is the Friday evening podcast from Last Ditch Racing at Corona Rally Mexico. I'm your host, Nigel Prodrive, and I'm here with the team driver, John Cassidy. And John had a terrific day today, but he had a bit of an incident when he was brutally attacked in his little Peugeot by some Mexican vegetation. Tell us about that, John.
Well, the tree really did jump out at us. You know, we've reviewed the onboard footage, and it's pretty clear that it wasn't there 1 second, and it was there the next. So, you know, that tape has somehow been misplaced now, so we can't really ask for second opinions. But what really happened was Eric and I were on Special Stage 2, Guanajuato, and came out of a right five turn, had some understeer, then some oversteer, and shot ourselves into a tree, which was lucky because on the other side of the tree was a big, huge exposure that would have resulted in quite a bit more damage and maybe even some physical damage. So we were happy not to do that. But we limped out of the stage with the skid plate hanging, ran the next stage, got back to service, and the guys swarmed on the car, got it at least back in running shape, and we went back out and finished up the day.
So I do have one question before we go much further. So you're saying that it was better to hit the tree than not?
Well, I think if you have the opportunity to strike something with a car, you know, it doesn't come along every day. You've got to take those opportunities and just, especially a car that you're renting, you know, and you're on the hook for, you should just, you know, feel free to smack it into any kind of a mobile object. We looked at a few walls today in some towns. We thought about those, but the tree seemed to be a better choice. We thought it would be a more localized hit and would spin us around a little bit more, which it did.
Now, some of the photos indicate that you've shed quite a bit of body work off this car. Now, this is a spec series, it's tightly controlled, and there's been some grumbling by the other competitors that you have an advantage because your car's substantially lighter. Could you comment on that issue?
Well, they're fairly jealous, but it's unfounded, because if you look at my girth relative to the girth of the other Peugeot drivers, you'll know that clearly they have an advantage from the get-go. So that's why Eric's co-driving, because he's so skinny that I need all the help that I can get. So we've actually been adding weight to the car in terms of vegetation and dust and rocks and things like that, and of course, you know, I think that the spec drivers are going to just look for any reason to be unhappy with our performance.
Well, speaking of performance, you and Eric are doing rather well. You're holding your own despite your battered little Peugeot. You're third in class. You've got quite a good battle going with a fellow in second. And there's a fellow who's only 6 or 8 seconds behind you, so you've got to be watching your mirrors.
Well, the competition, the appeal of being down here is the close competition that we're facing. And we're seeing that. The fellow that's leading the class, Gabriel, he's from Uruguay, and he's been the champion there 4 years running. So to even be posting times that are within 30 seconds of his on some stages is a pleasure, because we come from the all-wheel drive background, and now we're back in a two-wheel drive car, and here we are being competitive and having a great time swapping times all day long. So, you know, the cup idea is really appealing because of the cheap cost of entry and the tight competition and everything else. We'd love to see something like this in the U.S. I guess we'll have to keep flying down here to experience it.
So let's talk a bit about these Peugeot Cup racers. They're 206, they're little tiny hatchbacks. They've got a 1.6 liter 4-cam engine, 135 horse. You don't have any special diffs, no special gearbox, and you're running on basically street tires. What's that like to fly through the Mexican countryside?
Well, one of the concerns we had was the tires. They don't run on rally tires. They do run on a spec Goodyear Eagle racing tire it's similar to a snow tire. The competitors tell me they've never had real issues with the tires, but I'd rather be on on rally tires any day. The cars themselves are pretty peppy. First and second gear are great. Third gear to fifth, really not that usable unless you're going downhill or something else. Today, Eric had a couple of moments where he told me that the engine room had no more power to give, so going uphill can be sometimes painful and without the torque. But I tell you, they're very nimble. They're very light, under 2,000 pounds, very rugged. Peugeot Sport supplies all the spec parts, and so it makes it very appealing. And if they had something like this, I might consider it in the U.S. or Canada, but we'll have to see.
Well, speaking of Eric, he's just walked in, and I'd like to get a comment from him. Certainly, when you're at an event like this, you must have a few moments that are more memorable than perhaps they need to be. Could you care to comment on a few of those?
Why, yes. Well, first of all, I mean, the ceremonial star was incredible. Never seen that much enthusiasm or for rally in my rally time. And John is a great pilot, fun to ride with, and the Peugeot Cup team has been great in helping us out. Renee and Omar are helpful to us. But as far as the moments out there on the stage, definitely on Guanajuato 1, when we had the run-in with the tree, the shrubbery, was quite good. John was quite composed and got us right back on the road. He really did well saving the car and getting it back into service. So those are the memorable moments so far.
Now, you might not be aware of this, but I was watching at the ceremonial start because we could see you fellows on the Jumbotron. And there was a few moments where you not only had encounters with the Mexican countryside, you had some encounters with some of the Mexican wildlife. Would you like to comment further on that issue?
Well, I really don't have much to comment there. However, the fans are very enthusiastic here. It's a great place. The Mexican folk, how you say, have a great respect and enthusiasm towards the rally community here, and it's definitely, the vibe is present, and John and I were definitely on high on the ceremonial start.
You didn't answer my question, Eric, because if you were married and your wife saw some of the video, you might have some rather difficult explaining to do.
Well, there were some a few kisses stolen from me. Unfortunately, no, it's no strings attached, just a very c'est la vie, je ne sais quoi, very nonchalant, shall I say.
I'm going to chime in for a second, just to relate a little bit about the ceremonial start, which was in a town called Guanajuato, about 45 minutes from Leon. Eric and I and all the other Peugeots are at the back of the line, and all the cars were parked on the street, and we walked down the street, which was cordoned off. The sidewalks were separated from the cars in the street, and we walked down the middle, and it took us forever to get to the start platform because everybody kept asking for autographs and pictures and handshakes and everything else, and kisses, of course, from Eric, and even one smitten Mexican lass tried to extricate him from the car as we were driving out of town after the start, but she was unsuccessful because I needed him today. So, but Nigel,
if she tried to extricate him from the car, it's like, where did she have a hold of him?
Well, I didn't see it. He did tell me that there was an incident. It may have been that one where he was grabbed in a special place, and he was happy to have that happen because it wasn't me doing it. And so it was a kind of a breath of fresh air, I think, for him, you know, to be in a strange place with a stranger, you know, footloose and fancy free, you know.
No doubt lucky to be wearing a good flame-proof Sparco, so to speak. Well, now, I've heard you speak of Cleo a few times, and I was wondering, I'm not sure who Cleo is, but she sounds somewhat utilitarian, but quite tough at the same time. So could you explain a bit about whoever Cleo is?
Well, on our arrival, Nigel, we were greeted at the airport by Renee, and then and were asked to pick out a rental car from a nice sheet with pictures. And we saw this cool-looking Renault Clio, and we thought, well, that looks pretty Euro, and why not? Let's go for that. Well, we didn't give much thought to the fact that we'd need to take this car on the reconnaissance, which is 2 days basically running the rally twice. Two-wheel drive car, four doors, used in recce last year or some event capacity, because when we got it, the steering wheel wobbled as we drove down the street, whether it was because of a tire that wasn't round or something else we haven't found out yet. But needless to say, Eric and I expected the worst and thought that we would kill this poor car on recce, and we did everything in our power to do it, but she's still alive and transporting us back and forth every day. She hasn't been washed all week, and the doors don't quite shut anymore because maybe we were a little excited on the stages with her. But everybody's had a turn driving her in Mexican traffic and finds her quite entertaining.
Now, John, your normal rally car is a somewhat of a beastly sort of Subaru, isn't it? So this switch to a front drive little Peugeot, there must be some driving style changes involved with that.
Yeah, most definitely, Nigel. I was a bit apprehensive about coming down because it was a front-wheel drive car. I've been used to driving Subarus now for about 4 years. It's a little-known fact that my first rally car was a Honda CRX, so I did start out with a front-wheel drive car, but it wasn't well-made, so I decided to move on to the Subaru. But there was a point that I reached where I needed to get some instruction to get better, and I decided to contact Tim O'Neill and the Tim O'Neill Rally School in New Hampshire. And my wife actually bought me a gift, a three-day rally school. And as everybody I talk to knows, if you look at our website and the results, you can tell exactly when I went to Tim's school. He's a fantastic driver and, of course, a pilot of the Volkswagen to several national championships, and also, I believe, drove one in the Thousand Lakes Rally back in the mid-80s. I found the transition fairly straightforward, although the light weight of the car and the lack of the differential and the lack of torque and all these things certainly play into it, but the basics that Tim taught me are obviously keeping me in good stead here this weekend as time's a test. And I recommend all the time for folks that want to learn how to drive better or rally or just to be safer drivers to contact a professional instructor like Tim. I believe that Eric's been instructing down there for some time, and also that you know someone by the name of Dave Getchell that's also been instructing. Is that right?
Well, I've ridden with Dave a few times, and he's done reasonably well at keeping me out of trouble, but not entirely. There have been some incidents of hitting rocks and large piles of snow and such, but he's all right. He's all right. Now, Eric, tell us about the teaching that you're doing at Team O'Neill.
I'd like to thank Nigel for his help this evening. It's quite difficult for him to get away from his usual duties. What am I saying? Since he was fired from ProDrive quite some time ago, he hasn't had much to do, so this is the best thing he can get. We'd all like to send a special shout-out to our families and friends back home. Thanks for the support. Also, our fellow rally family scattered all over the world. Thanks for tuning in and joining in this crazy adventure with us. I'd like to also thank my friend Dave Goff again for the music for tonight's podcast, and a special hello to my son Cullen, who's at home and couldn't be here with me this weekend. Cullen, I'll see you soon. I appreciate all the support. Please tune in for our next podcast, which should be Saturday night, if all goes well. We're having a hard time getting the time to do these podcasts, but we're trying to get as many out to you as we can. Thanks a lot, everybody. Cheers.
Real cars, real roads, real fast. You can learn to drive like this at Team O'Neill Rally School, North America's premier rally school, led by five-time U.S. and North American rally champion Tim O'Neill. Whether you're 16 or 60, a competitive racer, or just an average Joe, we have a class for you. Check us out online at teamoneill.com or call 1-866-823-5558. Experience the world of high-speed driving on loose surfaces at Team O'Neill.